right. Everyone knows the procedure with the blue slips. We're going to open this meeting. We're going to return from closed session, and we have no action items taken, or no action taken on any of the items. So we're going to go into the roll call again.
Director Chandler?
Here.
Director Cuff?
Here.
Director Mitchell?
Here.
Director McIntosh?
Here.
Director Utek?
Here.
Okay.
Nobody left after the closed session.
John, would you lead us in the pledge?
Yes.
That should be John Erickson.
Oh, me? Okay. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Public comment. Anyone wishing to address the board on subjects within its jurisdiction? We have 3 minutes. Do we have any speakers? Do you need to?
I'm just going to say, under God wasn't until after World War II, we didn't have under God in the Pledge of Allegiance.
President Cuff, report on closed session.
He already said that.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. No action.
So we took no action.
I apologize.
I slept through.
A little out of order, Brenda. Okay.
Open those ears.
We will now go to our consent items. Any board members wishing to pull any items from the consent now? Any questions on any of the items? We have our fire chief, I'm sure, ready to answer, and Sergeant Erickson. Steve, can you give us an update of kind of how things are going with all the various fires and how busy you guys have been since your report?
Yeah, so the OES engine is still on fire. It went from the Thompson to the Bogus, and now it's at the Shelley. They got extended, so typically we're committed to a 14-day assignment, and anything over that, we have to get a fire chief approval from all the engines to be extended. So we were extended yesterday for another week, so they'll be on the Shelley. We have a 4-man crew on it right now.
Good.
It's been going well. I know that the Thompson, it sounded like they didn't really do anything. It was kind of staged. We're being utilized. Bogus fire, they put them to work. And then the Shelley fire, they've been working as well. So, yep.
You have a feel. I know the Thompson fire, they 100% contained, and the Bogus fire, I think, got completely contained. Where are we with the Shelley fire?
I believe it was 5% yesterday.
That's all?
Yeah, so I didn't hear this morning's update.
Okay. I think they're at 8%.
I haven't been seeing smoke, so they should catch up. I think it might have got rained on.
Yeah.
The RH went up for sure when those storms came in, so hopefully they catch that one.
So I do know that they, like you said, they had the perimeter and they were, hoping it wouldn't go that far. But like you said, the weather's gotten better, it's going to be a cooler week, and they've also notified the fairgrounds that they think they're going to have the fair.
Oh, good.
They're going to be able to pull their camp from the fairgrounds, so yeah. The fair can happen.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
My kids have steers, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really helping. Because a couple years ago, when they canceled the fair, we had to go up to Medford. And
right.
Transferring steers up there is difficult.
That's no good. So, yeah, they seemed happy about that.
Yeah.
Paula, any updates on grants? I noticed in your report we have special equipment coming for trying to get someone out of collision damage.
Yeah.
But we also have an engine on order that we've been holding our breath for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so on that grant, the OTS grant, we received, I think it was $5,800. I just got the email this morning with the amount. It's not a match grant or anything, so they'll cover all costs. And we'll get a couple struts that, so if a vehicle's on its side, it helps us stabilize it from tipping over while we're working on it. And then lighting for the scene at night. Stuff that we've needed, but we haven't spent the money on it because it's not critical to have, so it's really cool to get this paid for by the grant. The SCBA grant we haven't heard on, that one I put in December. They should start paying this fall, so hopefully we'll hear something on that. And then update on the engine. They've been giving me weekly pictures. It hasn't really changed much. I've had to check on the last one, didn't you send me these same pictures last week? They were different. They painted some stuff red. That was about it. I still haven't seen anything that resembles a fire engine. It's basically just the box that goes on the back that they're fabricating. It said that the next step is to start wiring the chassis, so at least we're getting some progress, more than the previous 3 years, so.
Yeah, right.
Where is that being constructed?
In Boise.
In Boise?
Yeah.
Are there any, do you make any trips out there for inspections?
Yeah, multiple.
Okay. When's your next one?
The first one will be once the whole thing's painted, before they decal it and everything. And that's, so they're both pretty much at the end, both inspections.
Oh, okay. So you don't look at any in-process stuff, any of the wiring or anything like that?
No, nothing planned other than the pictures they sent.
Okay, cool.
Well, the main thing is all the money is in reserves, earning pretty good interest right now.
Yeah, at least we didn't have to pay up front.
Right.
I don't think we've paid a dollar yet. Right? We just kind of committed.
I will say, I was talking to a neighbor today, and it's amazing to me how a lot of people have no clue as to what our fire department has done, and, especially over the last 5 years, right? And that we have a new building, that we've ordered a new truck, that we've done all the strike team work, how busy you guys have been. That's all benefited our community, and yet, of course, this year has been much quieter, and you're here to protect our community. But, it's been a huge bonus to have all this strike team work in the OAS truck. And I'm just saying, if we could somehow put that in writing somehow to let our community know,
We do update on Facebook and Instagram.
Okay.
But the older...
But a lot of people don't go there.
Yeah, they don't use that.
Most people use Nextdoor.
Yeah.
And I think also the open house.
I don't know if I can do Nextdoor. My sanity will go out the door.
No, it needs to be something more that we, when we have the election, we put together information.
Yeah. We do have funding for the grant that pays for the captain position that we can send mailers out.
Cool.
So we could create a mailer and just kind of send an update of what's going on.
I think that would be good.
We would have to put in there volunteers wanted to go under the grant.
Sure.
Funding, which we would benefit from anyway, so yeah, we could definitely do that.
Yeah, I still think it's also for recruitment, because if people know what we've done, they're more likely to want to get on board.
Yeah, no, that's a good idea.
Okay, cool.
I think Nextdoor would be good too, and you can close comments. You can close comments.
I know. I don't want to be associated with that app anyway.
It has gotten better.
Might get sucked in or something, huh? To read something.
Yeah.
Even when I post in the closed comments, they direct message me multiple times. So.
Yeah.
Hey, you don't have to read.
Okay. All right. Let's stay on top of any other questions.
Not a real question, just to let people know. Fire district in Oregon, I believe it's number 3 district, ordering a brand new fire truck. It's going to cost them over $2 million. And they are saying we might get it in 5 years.
Wow.
So just to let people know, just because you have some money and you say, hey, let's get this type of engine, it might take a few years.
Yeah, sure.
like the engine that I've talked with Stephen on it a couple of times about, had they any started yet? You know.
How long has it been since you were, Steve?
It was right before COVID.
So it's going to be 5 years.
So it was October of 2020, right? Yeah. So.
Wow.
No, that was when COVID was at the peak.
Yeah.
Early 19.
2019. I think it was 2020.
COVID hit March 2020.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, because we were supposed to get it in
early 19, March 19,
December of 23. That's what the first estimate was.
Well, the first estimate was 6 months.
2020 prior. Well, the first case was
it blew up. Yeah. They started like making all the crazy stuff.
That's right.
But you're right.
We talk a lot about higher
police force. That's the one superpower.
Stuff for a team, of course. But I actually enjoy reading the maintenance ones for the sewer and water. And I want to say I appreciate learning a little bit about aerobic decay. Beneficial bacteria. I like that. And CFD drives and what they are.
So there you go. Over the police.
Thank you.
We're just in the comments here. That anything on the consent.
Okay, that's all I had to say. I appreciate it. Reading those little tidbits.
Okay. Any other questions or comments about anything on the consent? Yep.
I'd like to ask John if, do you have a sense of, is there increasing domestic and or violence and or increasing child abuse in our community? Is that something that your department is looking at? And obviously you've responded to it because I see reports of it in your monthly.
Yeah, I don't know if necessarily increase. There's certain times of the year I've seen the last 9 years of being a cop, because summertime you usually get a little wave of some domestic violences, and towards the end of wintertime people get cabin fever, start beating on their spouse. Child abuse has been a weird one with all of the child sex cases and abuse cases that here in the last 2 years of working here, 3 years, it's about the same. We're getting quite a bit of them, which is one of the worst parts about being a cop, is working child cases. But yeah, they're about the same. It's the usual fluctuation of it gets hot, people get a little stir crazy, or when they have cabin fever from being locked up all winter because it's too cold, the same kind of thing. But no real rise in those statistics from what I see.
I'm hoping that what you're seeing is because people are more comfortable calling for help. That's my hope. And not that there's more of it happening, but that more people are reaching out and saying, I need help.
Yeah, usually it's like the people from stats of this last month were also part of the same stats the month before. It's usually neighbors that call. Shasta is a pretty quiet community, and neighbors are always hearing things, and if anything's out of the ordinary, I love it when people call, because when I used to work Happy Camp, we'd have people get in our faces and say, you never showed up for this, this, and this. Well, we can't show up if nobody calls us. So we got a good neighborhood, and people, I don't care if people call and something ends up being nothing. It's a relief when it's a nothing. But we have people that call and are very vigilant and let us know when they hear something out of the ordinary.
Excellent. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. I've got a question kind of on the same line. So there's a person that's on right on the hillside, kind of on the curve, and they let their children go out onto the street with bicycles and no helmets and no shoes. No. And it's crazy to me, it's 100 degrees, Is that something that you guys could do anything about? Or?
I mean, you can write a kid a ticket for not wearing a helmet, but it's more of a letter of the law versus a spirit of the law kind of thing. Mm-hmm. These parents, you can't, what's a good saying I always say? People call us to counsel their children. We can't fix 16 years of bad parenting with one police call. it's just
my concern is, what's the age at which the children should be out on the street in a main area where they're not going to be seen. I mean, I'm really worried someone's going to come around too fast and boom.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that sadly there's not a whole bunch we can do about it unless something happens after the fact or parents start changing their ways, but it's just one of those deals that's frustrating.
But in fairness to the police department, I believe that they have responded when they've gotten those reports, they've gone up. And unfortunately, you know, you can't do anything unless you see it. You know, I had a call from someone the other day, and I knew that the police department was busy about the same general area. Mm-hmm. And I drove up, you know, looking, you know, and I was ready to make a citizen's arrest. Right. And I got up there, and there were no dogs to be seen. So I called the person who reported, and I said,
yeah.
When did this happen? Well, it had happened 3 hours before, you know, and we try to, and I know that the Sergeant Erickson and Chief Bullington stress to people, you need to call us when it's going on.
Right.
You know,
right.
You need to, because we need to see it before we can do anything about it.
Yeah. My neighbor did snap a picture of the dog. It was right in the middle of the street. And I sent it to Will, because I had his cell phone, and he said, I'm at my... a birthday party, send it to the officer on duty.
Yeah. That's a weird thing. So there's the only thing cops can really do something about without seeing it and being there in person are felony arrests. Even when it comes to misdemeanors, the only misdemeanor we can make an arrest on that we didn't view or see is domestic violence. Any other misdemeanors, we can't make an arrest or do anything about unless there is a citizen's arrest. Then when you get to infractions like dogs being out or ordinance violations, can't really do a citizen's arrest on an infraction. I mean, you could probably try to pull it, but it'd be a weird one for the courts to see. So a lot of the things have a lot of frequent callers that we tell the same thing. Just call us when it's happening, not 3 hours later, because it happens a lot. I think there's a homeless person in the area. Okay, cool, I'll go check that out. When did you see him? Oh, it was about 4 hours ago, you know, when I left. It was like 4 hours a long time for something to go back home and not be there anymore.
Right.
So, one of the more frustrating things.
So then, as far as calling also,
yeah.
I think the 938, what is it, 1113? Is
1113?
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll get you to the officer on duty.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yes. That was another thing I think when I was really making an export post, which I don't like to do, I always attach that, you know, on-call number is this. I've had people leave a message on our office phone when I get back from patrolling around for a couple hours and go, well, that would have been good to know while I was out there, because no idea about it till hours later. But most people use our on-call number, so.
Yeah. And
that's something we can publicize also. Again, we try. You know, we publicize things. We don't really do so much.
Oh, yeah. You know? Yeah. And that's why, I mean, we're the eyes and ears of the community.
Yeah.
So on Sunday, I was going down to weed the carnival. And the person in front of me come out, probably right in here. And I noticed several times they were crossing the white line, you know, double line. And driving just erratically, like maybe they were texting or something. And it was a little disconcerting, but, you know, I didn't really think about it until we came to the stop sign. And I actually had passed one of our officers. I don't know that it was you, John, but anyway, when I came to the stop sign, the other officer, turns out it was Sam, I think, was right there at 97. And so I came to a stop, and then I made the turn, and all of a sudden he flew on the lights, and I thought, what the heck did I do? I mean, you know, I'm like, and he flew, I pulled over and he went past me to get the guy in front of me. And so I wanted to let him know, you know, I'm glad you stopped him. So I finally got through and he really appreciated the call. I said, that guy was driving very erratically and I had been following him for the last mile. And he said, we appreciate that, you know. I don't know what was going on with that driver, but yeah.
Sam has a good radar that he picked up when he's in the sheriff's office on finding people that should be pulled over and getting almost everybody in the world pulled over at the same time. So he's a great employee.
All right. Moving along, unless anyone has any other questions, if we need a motion.
Water department.
Okay.
How are you feeling about the condition of our water pumps now? I noticed you, I know...
So I'm going to talk about that a little bit.
Later?
Yeah.
Okay.
In the manager's report.
All right.
Okay.
I'll wait there. Okay, motion to approve the consent?
I'll make a motion.
You check, a second?
I'll second it.
You got a second?
Norm speaks louder than me.
Who is it?
Fight over it.
I'll take Carla, I think she was first.
I'll second it first, I'll take that.
Okay.
All right, so we have a motion, a second to approve the consent items, and all those in favor, signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Next, we'll move on to our discussion reports, action items, first being the general manager's report.
Okay, then. I'm going to start out with a couple of legislative items, one federal and one state. I'll start with the federal. House Bill 7525, titled the Special District Grant Accessibility Act, was introduced into the House of Representatives on March 3rd. The bill, and I'm going to quote what it says, would require the White House Office of Management and Budget to issue guidance to federal agencies requiring special districts to be recognized as local governments for the purpose of federal financial assistance determinations. So the CSDA is pushing this real heavily, and they sent out a template, a letter of support template. So I put some input into that and sent that we fully support that. Of interest is that it was co-sponsored by 14 California representatives, including Doug LaMalfa, our congressman. Although interestingly, he's then noted as not voting on it, although he was I'm not quite sure what that means, but he was a co-sponsor of it, which is promising. It passed the House overwhelmingly bipartisan, a vote of 352-27. So then, as you remember in your civics classes, it goes to the Senate. And on July 12th, Senate Bill 4673 was introduced, and it contains the same language as the House bill. It's been referred to committee. It's with, I believe, the Homeland Security and Government Appropriations Committee now, where it sits. So they're in session, I think, for another week or two, so I don't know if it's going to get out of that committee or not. But it puts us, it's a real advantage to us. That's been we are kind of in a limbo with federal money. Any federal money that we get has to be run through the states. And so this is a really good thing for us, so hopefully it passes. It's got a lot of support, and I think it's got a good shot. If not in this session, then the next session. In California, I don't know if you guys heard of Initiative 1935, alternately called the Taxpayer Protection Act and the Taxpayer Deception Act, depending on which side you're on. So what that would have done would have required any tax increase in the state of California to be required to be approved by a two-thirds majority vote, any tax increase. So as you know, with us, we are already bound by that. Any tax increase is a two-thirds vote. What this initiative would have done would have not allowed us to raise what are now considered property-related charges and fees under Proposition 218 that we went through. It would reclassify those charges as special taxes, which would require a two-thirds vote to pass. Yeah. And we know, how high of a bar that is. And it would really, really, really be a big problem for us counties and cities. So it was challenged. The state went to the Supreme Court, challenged it as unconstitutional, and in an unusual move, they found that it was unconstitutional before it was enacted. Usually what they do, they wait till it's enacted and then somebody challenges it and then they find it. They disallowed it going on the ballot, which is really good news for us. What really concerns me is that our elected officials, Senator Dahl in particular, came out and he was outraged at the Supreme Court's action. I don't think they understand what it would do to us. So I've reached out to their office. I sent them an email, and I haven't heard anything back saying, you know, we need to talk about this. We need to talk about how this affects us and how this affects our financing. And and we would basically not be able to do projects without something like this. And if that's what you're going to do, you better turn loose of some of the money through grants, because that's the only way we're going to get anything done. And they're not obviously doing that. So anyway, so that's killed for now. So we'll see how it goes in the future, but that's always one of those things that's hanging out there. So Paula, the outage, so it was on July 8th, we had a Pacific Power outage that affected the whole district. Water booster station number 53 serves Zen Mountain. It pumps water up to the tank number 4. There were fuse failures in the pumps, and that were related to the outage. They're not just fuses that you pull out and you plug back in. They're specialized and it requires an electrician to do them. Luckily, we had some in stock, so we got Will Johnson, who we contract with to do our electrical work. He came out and replaced them, and so we were in good shape. We have replacements for those on order right now. It's not something that's on the shelf. Another problem, though, is that the fan controller drives burn out on one of the pumps. There's two pumps in that booster station. The fans obviously prevent them from overheating, the pumps from overheating. With those fans down, we can only run the pump about 15 minutes before it becomes a problem. So it's a manual process right now. We received them the other day. We're getting Will scheduled to install those. He's got to install them also. So we're okay. We're watching it. I have an alarm on my phone. Rodney watches it constantly for the Zen tank. There's a lot of demand. We're getting down. We're able to keep up so far. It's cooled off the last couple of days a little bit, so that's helped some. So we should get those in the next, and maybe tomorrow we'll get them in and we'll be in better shape. So that's your answer. Question about that?
Is there anything we can do to prevent the future damage?
No, it's these things. They're designed to, well, the best thing we can do is to keep spare parts, right? So we can take care of it right away. The fuses we did, the pump controllers we didn't, they're expensive. They're very expensive. I think the total bill, you saw those bills, it's around $6,000 or $7,000, I believe, isn't it? And so, you know, we'll have to decide whether we want to have a part that expensive sitting on the shelf. My inclination is yes, because we're seem to be subject to more and more outages by Pacific Power. I don't know what the reason for that is, but it seems to be happening quite often. Is there something you can do? No. You know, we're subject to it. The fuses did their job. They protected the pumps from further damage. And so, you know, the fan controllers, who knows, maybe they were tired. You know, maybe it was time, you know, when they saw a fault that was going to happen. I don't know. But anyway, so that's where we're at on that.
The notification was an issue.
Speaking of next door. So I put on the next door, I have an agency page, or we have an agency page. I asked for cooperation, explained the difference, and my mistake was that I did not turn off comments. And we were just asking for cooperation.
Sure.
You know, this is a problem that we have, and then it started.
I think most people.
They did, and I had private messages saying thank you.
I was.
I think I had more private messages saying thank you than there were negative posts. I don't understand the negative posts, but. They are what they are. So anyway, so, you know, I learned something. So any other questions?
But you were talking
about
email blasts. So.
Oh, so we're looking, we're, I don't.
Can you chime in on that?
Yeah.
I only have 40 emails signed up.
Yeah.
So it wouldn't be efficient way of notification. I only have 40 subscribers.
Wow.
Yeah.
So.
So we can.
When did you put it out?
That's the first step. We need to get people.
When did you put out for people's emails? I don't know.
We've always asked for people's emails. We ask for people's emails when they sign up for service.
When they sign up for service?
Yeah.
Can I try
for information you may.
So before we switched to Cassell, we mailed out little green slips with everyone's bills, asking everyone to update whatever information they would like to, email, phone number, address, and we got some of those back, but not very many people wanted to put their email address, and we also did, it was all over Nextdoor, I know, by certain individuals about how we should get some sort of a notification system, and we actually ended up being able to do that with our website. So if you go to our website, there's a little tab that says join our mailing list, and there's a couple different lists of subscriptions you can do, but at this time I only have
I'll put it on Nextdoor again for people to sign
it's fine
up
it's been on there But yeah, I only have 40 people, so that wouldn't have been, if we have more people signing up, it would definitely be a good way to do it, but knowing we only had 40 people, we didn't do that.
That's the first step, is we need to get more people on the email list and make them recognize that if they want this information, then we need to have a way to contact them.
Absolutely, and it's the same with phone numbers. You know, people are really hesitant to give phone numbers, they're hesitant to give their email addresses. Okay, then we can't contact you. I mean, it's as simple as that. And you know, one of the other possibilities, and I remember being told and I don't know if any of you guys remember this, when the phone system was being sold, was the possibility of automated messages going out. I've asked Jenny and the staff whether that's a possibility. I don't think so. So we're checking with IT now to see if that's a possibility. But we need the data. We need the phone numbers. We need the email addresses.
Right.
People just don't respond, you know. And we can put it on Nextdoor. If you want it, then let us know what your contact information is.
Well, it's kind of like the fire alert system, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. You sign up for it. Sometimes, like I got this one, just popped up on my phone saying, and it was one of the fire was Montague. But they wanted to, I guess, notify everybody that, you know, mm-hmm. this was happening. I don't know. We need to tap into that kind of emergency thing in the future if the water really.
Yeah, goes. I mean, they have apps. There's apps. They have apps. Yeah. And you know, we would have to develop our own app. That costs money.
Yeah. I think the Nextdoor is really the best because you do get a little, you know, if you've got notifications, you get it notified right on your phone that there's.
Yeah. And I did, and one of the criticisms was, not everybody has Nextdoor. You need to do this, and you need to do that, right? That was the criticism, so I think.
We'll work on that.
I had a thought at the time. We'd gotten what used to be Code Red. Oh, back then it was Code Red, before they changed over to the new name that I
Genesis Protect.
Ready Siskiyou.
Yeah,
is that what it is?
Genesis
is an app. We got an Amber Alert on Code Red once. Mm-hmm. I kind of wondered, this was pretty close to a bad emergency here. Would our county officials include us in some kind of a alert for a potential neighborhood community bad problem?
What's it called?
Maybe John can assist me, but I believe Ready Siskiyou is coordinated by the Siskiyou County Sheriff's Office. And so being that it's Siskiyou County Sheriff's, I don't know that they would isolate an emergency, but that is a thought. I don't know. Maybe
so
John might know.
The Sheriff's Office dispatches for us, and the dispatches essentially would put that out. When we had that, they called it the 97 fire after the mill fire. We asked them to put out that Code Red at the time. So anything essentially we think is necessary for the public to know, we could call and have an area get alerts like that.
Maybe something like that would work.
Yeah, and we can ask. We will certainly ask. However, my sense is that they're going to tell us no.
It's usually that it's for not an emergency. Threats of life and stuff, though, like fire.
But we'll ask the question.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we'll ask the question.
Bad.
Yeah, no, it does not.
It might be, you know, worth it to think about a board committee and work on that kind of communication stuff.
There's, you know, there's other things. There's Twitter, there's Instagram, there's all kinds of things. However, a certain, there's, you know, those things are used by particular demographics.
Right.
And not by others.
Well, I know at one point we talked about even having a social media person, but, you know, I'm just saying, maybe it would be something we want to, because it seems like when we need it, you know?
Yeah.
Yep.
And all that stuff costs money.
Anyway, let's get back to your report.
Yeah, okay. So any other questions about the water stuff?
No, I think you answered it.
Okay. So
you wandered off the reservation.
I received the draft. So we talked about SHN with this finishing the CEQA, which will give us an advantage, a leg up on getting our financing done for our projects. Part of that is the mitigated negative declaration. You guys have reviewed those before. I received the draft yesterday, and I'm in the process of reviewing that now to get it back to SHN. And we'll get that. That's all part of the CEQA process, and I'll get that back to them next week sometime. It's a long document, so yeah, it's been delving into that. So as far as our capital project improvements, I've been working on a specification bid package for engineering services. I'm looking at the advantages and disadvantages of doing a package for the whole thing or doing a package for individual projects, getting bids, and that's more labor intensive. It's easier to just do the whole thing. Which way is more cost effective, I don't know. I'm kind of working on that and deciding on that. But I'm working on I need to get a specification put together and a bid package put together for that, because that's the next step is engineering services for these projects. I'm also working on a specification myself and bid packaging to see how this will work for just the water tanks, the water tank refurbishment. I'm not sure I need an engineer for that, so I'm working on it, and I've been reaching out to some of the tank companies also to get an idea and a feel for how this is going to go. So those are a couple of things that are on my plate right now. I had a conversation with Daniel Alvarado, the USDA RD representative, this morning, as a matter of fact, about the process and our next steps. So these are the next steps. The CEQA is the next step. And then they have some, they looked at our PER. He had his engineer look at the PER. They have specific requirements as to the form of the PER, and they're pretty comfortable with what SHN has put out, that it meets their requirements. So we're in good shape there. We're in good shape there. One of the things they have, so California has the CEQA process, the feds have the NEPA process, their environmental process. So when we submit the projects to them for financing, they look at it and they decide whether or not our projects are exempt or not from the NEPA process. And so basically what they do is, how much dirt are you disturbing? You know, what's the size of the project? So you'll see in that, when you get the mitigated negative declaration for approval, because it'll come before you guys when we're done with it, is that it's pretty minimal. You know, I think the biggest thing, and I told Daniel this, the biggest thing would be the new water tank up on top. That would be really the biggest disturbance. And the declaration, it talks about cultural heritage items, biological items, and the way you mitigate those things is you have a biologist come in and see if there's any problems. You have an archaeologist come in and see if you have any issues. So those are all going to be part of the process. And Daniel has quite a bit of experience going through that, and he thinks there's a pretty good chance that we'll be categorically exempt from NEPA. But that's not a given, and NEPA is going to be expensive if we have to go through. And typically, they're $30,000 to $40,000 to go through. So it's basically duplicating what the CEQA is, And I asked him, we have the CEQA, can't we use that? He said, no, you can't. So we'll see how that goes. But they're hopeful that we'll be exempt.
In the past, I believe that we have not heard from our local neighbors and tribes.
We've already reached out to the tribes.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so my question is, I'm assuming that we haven't heard
we have not.
Back from them.
We have not. And that was some time ago.
That they have some concerns.
That was some time ago.
Yeah, so we're not hearing that,
no.
that there's some concerns.
And there was a time limit on that. And, okay. and I can't quote the dates to you, but we're past the time limit.
Okay. Well, and that's been the same for other projects
yes.
we've done. So. Okay, good.
Yes, it has. Yes, it has. So things where does our PER, the big things, does it meet the USDA form requirements? Yes, it does. Will our projects be categorically exempt from NEPA requirements? That is to be determined. So any questions about that stuff?
Did you decide one way or the other whether you're going to be replacing that tank or adding a second tank?
Adding a second tank. Okay. Yeah, there was some talk. You know, we had two options. We had replacing it, or we had putting in a second tank. I was leaning towards replacing it, putting a bigger tank in. We don't have the footprint for us. And I've had that discussion with SHN, and they dissuaded me from that course. And because we don't have the footprint, there's not room to put a bigger tank. It's, you know where it's at. It's on top of Stag Mountain. It's surrounded by roads. So, you know, it's not a good spot. So.
You have to go a long way into your process before you start seriously looking for a second location?
There has always been an assumption. There's a lot right across the road to the south, southwest of the tank. There's a house on the other side. And I think the assumption has always been made that it would be there. There has been no process to contact that property owner as far as I know. So that's one of the next steps, is to start that process.
We'll be looking
at. Yep.
The house that burned down.
No.
To the right of it?
To north. Give me
down?
North or south. I deal better with cardinal directions.
You weren't here then, Paul, right?
Oh, I
the guy that built it.
I know, but his house is pretty far away from the tank, so it would be,
okay.
There are a couple of people.
I knew
to the south.
Somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, there's one directly to the north of it, right on the other side of the road. I don't think that's what you're talking about. You're talking
no.
the other way,
the other
south.
Direction.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
there were a couple pieces of property, vacant lots,
sure.
and then the one where the house burned down. So.
Yeah, my wife and I argue about this a lot. She uses right and left, and I use north, south, east, and west.
Which way are you? Anyway, there are several vacant lots around there.
There are.
Okay.
There are.
Okay.
Yeah, and they all have very, very good views, too. So, any other questions about that?
Nope.
That stuff? No? Okay. So, I get emails all the time. You know, I know the grant thing has been a hot topic of discussion and why we're not getting grants and why we're not applying for grants. And as I've said many, many times, you should see my email inbox each day. It takes a while to wade through it. And many of those things are from the state and from the feds, and they're grant opportunities and discussions about grants. So sometime back, I got an email from DWR, Department of Water Resources, about their commission meeting. They meet monthly, and so one of the topics on their agenda for this meeting was grant opportunities. And so I thought it was important to listen to that. Unfortunately, it's today, and I've had that on my computer since 9:30 this morning. I've had it and been listening to mainly Elena has to leave us. She has a Zoom meeting. All of the discussion so far has been about Central Valley issues and state water project issues, which is piping water down to Southern California. They haven't talked about anything, you know, north of the Central Valley at all. The agenda item for the grant stuff is probably right now, you know, sometime this afternoon. And so fortunately, I believe there's a recording of it, so I'll be able to go back and look and see what they're talking about. So, but again, all of the grant stuff that's been coming out, it's for severely disadvantaged and failing water and sewer systems. That's the money that's available out there, particularly from the state. Talking to Daniel, he still uses the word grant/loan application. So there is money. Daniel is really, really helpful. He brought up the mill fire. He asked the question. He said, did your water system suffer any damage from the mill fire? And because there's still a pot of money out there for 100% USDA funding. And I explained to him that all of our damages were covered by the perpetrator. And so, you know, when we're paid for it, they're not going to.
By our responsible corporate citizens.
Yes, there you go. Yeah. So that's who I'm dealing with. You know, he's really proactive, and anytime he sees something, he lets us know what's out there and what's available. So our capital improvement project, he refers to it as a grant/loan program. They can't tell us exactly how much until we get into the application process, but it's out there and it's a possibility. So that's that. We have a new employee starting Monday. His name is Jason Brem, and this young man, we had a lot of applications and very little qualifications.
In our
public works department. Water, sewer, grounds, you know, whatever. I had a lot of applications with very few qualifications. Yeah. And stumbled upon this one, and Jason is someone that has applied. He applied some time ago, and it didn't work out. He had another opportunity that came up, and then his application was in the, and I kept looking at it, and I thought, you know, I'm going to call this guy. So I called him, and he was hauling a piece of equipment over to the Shelley Fire when I got a hold of him. He was working for SW Maintenance, hauling stuff. This young man has a Class A CDL license with a tanker endorsement. He's got a welding certification. He was in the Navy. He has electrical background in the Navy. He also was in the reserves. He was in the Seabees, construction battalion in the Seabees. He has heavy equipment operator certification. He's worked as a heavy duty equipment mechanic. I mean, it's
he lives right here in Chestina.
You know, color me really, really, really relieved that I found somebody like this. Yeah. So he starts Monday, and we're excited. We're excited to get him. He's going to be a real asset.
Maintenance two.
Where I started him. I didn't start him at the beginning rate. Right?
I wouldn't think so.
No.
Because otherwise.
No.
No.
I did not.
With that kind of background, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Good. Well,
I've often thought we should kind of reevaluate that salary schedule anyway, because it's been so hard to get people.
Yeah. Yeah. So
good, Rick. Good.
Had some
good news.
Yeah,
really
it's
good news.
Real good news.
Yep.
And he knows how to take tests and
he does.
Well,
he does. I call.
Mean, you don't get those certifications without taking tests.
You laugh, but
yeah,
that's part of our problem.
Yep.
That we need people who can take the tests and be certified by the state and keep getting better and better and higher certifications. So
he's working on he's working on a degree at COS also.
Oh, nice.
So he's really close.
Yeah.
I called his references, and one of his references is a local businessman that owns a lot of equipment, and his equipment is pristine. And I called and I had a discussion with him, and I asked him. I said, so because I've had other applicants that I've called, their their previous employers and wouldn't allow them to use equipment. Because, and I've seen guys like that over, I've had a lot of construction experience, and there are people that you do not want running your equipment. And the guy that his reference that I talked to gave him a glowing review, called him smart, and he said we'll be very, very, very happy with him as an employee. So.
I hope they can keep him.
Yeah, that's my next goal.
And that he would be interested in
advance.
We've had these discussions.
Yeah.
We've had these discussions. So that's it for my report.
Okay, yep. All right, we will move on to the next item.
Do we have any public comments on his report?
I haven't gotten any. Okay, pink, blue slip, so. Okay. Next item is 2024 tax roll public hearing. And Rick?
So this is a public hearing to hear any objections or protests to the delinquency report of taxes. So we'll need to open a hearing.
Okay.
And
open the public hearing.
And you'll see a list of the properties in there and what's owed. I'm going to let our AR guru, Tara, talk a little bit about this.
What's your question?
Would you like to read?
I can read that.
Report?
Sure.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Okay. So just the public hearing part?
Yeah.
Okay. Public hearing delinquent charges, government code 6115B, to be sent to the Siskiyou County Auditor to be included in the 2024 tax roll. Item one, public hearing to hear and consider all objections or protests to CSD's opinion delinquency report of taxes, assessment, and other charges levied for the fiscal year 2022-2023. Being delinquent shall be declared tax defaulted pursuant to Government Code 61115B and shall direct the general manager to file the county auditor a copy of the final report on or before August 10th, 2024. Do I need to do the motion as well?
Would you like to add anything else about the report?
Oh, no.
Pretty lengthy.
I mean, yeah.
It's 764.
So yeah. I think what we can do is entertain any objections. You can open and close the hearing. We can talk about it a little bit afterwards,
okay.
I think, if you like.
I don't see any pink. I mean, I can keep saying
no
pink.
Objections.
Blue slips. Any public comments?
Thanks, Drew.
Pardon. Okay. This is 764 items at 207,000.
I guess we have one.
I just have a question.
Yeah.
Is it all of these properties? Is this what we're talking
yes.
about? All of these properties?
Mm-hmm.
Those are all parts.
Those are the individual lots.
Yes, yeah, so we'll chat a little bit about it after.
Okay. You have any other objections? Okay. So I will close the public hearing. And we'll go back to entertaining or any information and entertaining the motion.
Technical questions?
And we do this every year, is that?
We do. We do it every year on August 10th. I pull whatever is past due from the year 2022, 2023. It ends on 6/30/2023. All of those due, or all of those assessments that haven't been paid get turned over to the county. Those customers' accounts are wiped clean, as far as we see, and we receive funds via the county every quarter from what's been collected, either through tax sale or payments through the customers. So.
And is this list longer or about the same as what we've seen?
It is actually a little shorter than last year, but the last 2 years, actually since 2020, it has been in the 700 and 800 range. And looking back, prior to 2020, it was in the 500 to 600 range.
Mm-hmm.
Though we are receiving a lot of payments, and this list obviously isn't totally accurate. You know, we have been receiving payments and we'll continue to do so to the 10th. So it could be a little less than last year, I would say, which is promising. So.
Right. And because it goes on the tax rolls, what's your general estimate of how much, what percentage of that money that goes on the tax rolls we actually get back from the county?
Well, that is a really hard question because it's so variable. I would say we get at least 50% of it, but it does trickle in. So I get a check for many years, and then I get my 2023, you know, so it just kind of, the older years trickle in, the newer ones get paid, and then we go on. So it's kind of hard to say that.
And if someone doesn't pay, then that's when the properties go up for sale or auction?
Correct. That's
in the county?
Yes, I hear it's 5 years, but it can be whatever they want. It could be anywhere past that.
They meaning?
The county.
County.
The county can roll, and they do it very randomly from what we've heard and understood.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions?
Yeah, just a little question.
Sure.
Somebody decides to finally pay their bill instead when they get a notice.
Mm-hmm.
That makes a mess, doesn't it?
A little bit.
They got it, and they send the money to.
Yes, so they'll have a.
Property owner sends the money to you instead.
Yes.
What a mess.
They'll have a credit on their account for the following year.
Okay.
And most people are okay with that, leaving it. That way they know they're paid up for the following year at least. So it works out okay.
I can see it being a little messy.
Yeah, it can be.
Nice to pay.
Yeah.
So I think when you look at the financials, it's not quite as dire, you know, as you think. Because like Tara said, people pay. You know, a lot of these people are going to pay. And the number hasn't changed dramatically. Like
not dramatic.
It was a little bit, I think it was 800 and some last year.
It was 800 last year.
Yeah.
It's going to be in the 700s this year.
A little bit
year.
Less this year. But when you look at the financials, if you look at the standby revenue, if you look at the budgets and the actuals, they're pretty close, the money that we've actually collected.
Mm-hmm.
They're not, you know, that $207,000 number at the end of the report is big. But, you know, most people eventually, and plus we get money back from the county.
Mm-hmm.
We can't predict that. It's sporadic because it depends on when they get the money. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, when you first start looking at that, you first start looking at that number. It's oh my gosh,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think it's quite as bad as it is on, as it looks on first blush.
Yeah. Well, I think this graph is pretty good. It's in our packet because it goes back to 2019.
Yeah.
And it seemed like in a comparable quarter, we were looking at 96,000. So, you know, that's double.
Yeah.
But then if you go down further, like you said, COVID,
mm-hmm.
then there's another 193. So,
yeah.
Way up.
Mm-hmm.
More than now, and then it kind of went down. It definitely fluctuates.
Yeah.
It does, yeah.
I always kind of look at trends. I mean, for the most part, we're kind of in line, except for those
spikes.
When we switched.
Those spikes aren't really accurate.
No, they're not.
So is there any way we can change that on the graph?
We can. We just need to put a new number in there.
Okay.
Yeah, it was just when we switched to our new program.
Well, what happened?
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, okay.
But I know. That's,
yeah.
Yeah.
We can do that.
Anyway. Mm-hmm. But it is good.
Was
if you go to the tax rolls.
Yeah.
I know for homeowners it's really tough because you just carry those balances, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're finding making more contact with the accounts, the
mm-hmm.
residents really helps, you know, let them know, hey, you know,
yeah.
sometimes people don't get the bills.
100%. That's
know, really
a part
helps.
Of it. They move and then we don't get an updated address, so we're not,
that's
we don't know where they are.
Sure.
I was able to use ParcelQuest for some time and don't have it any longer, but it was really effective in knowing who they were, who's the owner, where they live, and then I can send them a letter, and I'm happy to do that if I have that information. So, yeah.
Yeah, and that's something that we'll probably be talking about in the future because it's expensive. ParcelQuest is expensive.
Yeah.
I think we were splitting it with the POA
we were,
at one time,
mm-hmm.
and we're not now. It's an expensive mm-hmm. product, and but the value of it may outweigh the expense.
Mm-hmm.
We have such an advantage, the fact that we sent quarterly bills versus
mm-hmm.
homeowners. Of course, you guys do twice a year, but Rancho Hills, we only send it out once a year. A lot can happen in once a year about where people move and then trying to figure out where they are. And then people only get one bill and we didn't send reminders. And then it's like all of a sudden they're now getting the new bill and they're like, whoa, what happened?
Yes.
You know, so, you know, like I said, then you have to have somebody in the office that's
listening and hearing, yeah.
Yeah, good to handle that.
There used to be, because of places I worked when I was younger, a simple thing of sending something out to an address you know is wrong
mm-hmm.
and putting return receipt, or excuse me, address correction
mm-hmm.
requested.
Yeah.
Pay 50 cents when the thing comes back with a new address. That little simple thing still used, or is it just
We get our mail back returned, but often, maybe 80% of the time, it's no forward address.
No forwarding.
Yeah.
But if you send something and it comes back, can't you, oh, if it says no forwarding, that doesn't help.
Then I don't have an address, yeah.
But if they've moved and they've made an address change.
Yeah, I get those, and I reply to them and get a hold of it.
It's nice to know the simple old things.
Yeah, I do utilize that, though, when there is the information.
It's not only good for 6 months, now they have the internet.
True, and that's, yeah, that's the problem.
Post office only keeps it for 6 months.
We only bill every 6 months, and so, yeah, the 6 months comes into play.
Okay, I'm going to bring it back to the board table for the comments.
No comments, sir.
We don't have blue stuff, so I
make a motion to declare said delinquencies tax defaulted pursuant to Government Code 61115B and direct the general manager to file a final report with the Siskiyou County Auditor on or before August 10, 2024.
Do you have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, John. All right, motion and a second for approval of the delinquency tax default. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, motion carries. Okay, moving right along, item number four, consideration of contract extension amendment for Drew Consulting.
Okay, so as you guys know, we employ a contract with Andrea Drew Consulting as a CPA. She helps us with our audit preparation, and she helps us with accounting throughout the year. We've been in audit preparation for a while now, and along with the Cassell conversion, we're having a time, right? And Andrea's helping us out with that. There's some discrepancies that we're trying to track down. There's system discrepancies, right? It's because of the way Cassell is working, and it's the reporting. It's not any actual, you know, we know where the money is, and we know it's not reporting right for the audit process and for what we know the auditors will be looking for. So her contract runs usually fiscal year, and our last contract was a not to exceed $50,000 number. She's under that by quite a bit. We haven't finished yet. We're still in this process. So what we'd like to do is extend her contract until August 31st, under the original terms, so that we can wrap this up, and then we'll do a new contract with her after that, after we get it all done. We're trying to get everything ready for the auditors, you know, and we've had to postpone twice because of these, their technical difficulties is what they are, that are related to the Cassell project, and that's where Elena's at right now. As a matter of fact, she's in a Zoom meeting trying to get this stuff resolved. And the problem with the auditors, each time you postpone them, they you know, it's not like you can get them next week. I still don't believe we have a next appointment with them. We got to get it figured out first. So anyway, that's what I'm asking for, is to extend her contract until August 31st under the terms of the original contract, not to exceed $50,000.
You anticipate the contract changing? Is that why?
I don't have any anticipation of that, no.
Contract.
I do not, no. Okay. No, I don't anticipate that, however. You always have to do your due diligence.
Sure. Any other technical questions? Okay, public comments? Okay, bring it back to the board.
I make a motion we approve Amendment 001 to the Drew Consulting County Support Services Contract.
Okay. Second that.
Okay. Motion and second.
So
any
now
further discussion?
Yeah.
What?
So, really, my question doesn't have to do with Drew Consulting. I'm glad she's on board to help us, but
we'd be lost.
I am concerned about Cassell. Should I be concerned about Cassell?
That's a question I've been asking for a long time. Am I concerned? Yes, I'm concerned. Does that mean, you know, what does that mean?
Do you think that we're going to get to the end of these issues? Because we've had various and sundry issues with Cassell taking over.
We have another meeting scheduled with Cassell, with this meeting that that Andrea and Elena are in right now is about some of the technical issues. Mm-hmm. This one isn't with Chase.
No.
Chase is not involved in this.
No.
So we're going up a step.
Payroll.
I'm sorry?
We're kind of getting
outside. Well, but it's related.
It's
and
why we're
so her
having
quite,
to extend the contract.
I know, but it's the consulting contract, not our software situation. Yeah. Okay. I would say if we want to talk about this, let's put that as an agenda item with Cassell.
Okay.
Yeah. So we have a motion and a second. If there's not further questions, This is to approve and get an extension to Drew Consulting. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. Thanks, Rick. Okay. Next we have our number five, consideration of the LSPOA yard maintenance agreement.
Okay, so as you know, we entered into an agreement with the LSPOA yard. It was a labor and yard and equipment agreement on June 30th, 2019. The agreement allowed the LSPOA to use district-owned maintenance yard and shop to store its equipment and have the shop access for the consideration of $1 per year. In exchange for that, because there has to be an equitable consideration for a government agency to do anything. We were using, it was so that the district could use LSPOA equipment. At the time, and you guys know this from history, the LSPOA bought the equipment and the CSD used the equipment. That's just the way that it worked.
Yep.
And in the time since then,